You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everyone. I'm John Huckenberry here with Celeste Headlee. At 47 minutes after the hour, the headline is really all about what the president is going to say tonight. He gives that speech
for
a joint session of Congress at 7 p.m. Eastern time. You know, it's being billed once again as the most important
speech
for the president.
He gives is billed as the most important speech of his presidency.
I think President Obama probably holds the record for having to give the most important speeches of his career speeches.
True.
And it's on tap tonight. It's going to address the economy, the nation's high unemployment rate, those anxious workers who might become or already have become angry or disaffected voters. The president has to speak to them. But underlying all of the content in the president's remarks before that joint session of Congress will be a broad, growing sense, even measurable sense in the American electorate, that despite our America is the best, greatest nation in the world, God bless America political rhetoric, we have lost our way in some sense. It's the question addressed by Tom Friedman and Michael Mandelbaum in their new book, That Used to Be Us. The mighty Friedman, of course, is a columnist for our partner, The New York Times. The mighty Mandelbaum, a professor of American foreign policy at Johns Hopkins University. Both have long careers reporting on and analyzing global affairs. They join us today to weigh in on America's domestic predicament. Tom and Michael, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Tom, is that that used to be us comes directly from Barack Obama, a reference he made to America's decline in leadership to China, right?
Basically, the president gave a news conference right after the midterms, and he said, you know, China's building high-speed rail. China now has the world's fastest computer. That used to be us. And when we heard that, we thought, well, that's really the title of the book. But the reason, John, we chose a backward title, backward-looking title for what is a future-oriented book is because our whole argument is that America basically has within its past all the ideas, all the track record of building the necessary institutions and infrastructure to be thriving in the world. And the problem we have today is we've actually gotten away from our historical formula for success, which is built on education, immigration, infrastructure, the right rules to incent innovation, and government-funded research, that's why we're in this pickle. It's not because we need to learn from China or India or Brazil. It's because we've gotten away from who we were.
Well, I'm wondering if you thought, Michael Mandelbaum, as you were writing this book, changing the title from That Used to Be Us to Is This Possibly Us during the debt ceiling debate, things even got more insane and misguided than you describe in the book. Michael, the premise here is America can't be credible globally unless we are functional domestically.
That is the premise, and we are not functional politically, and in That Used to Be Us, we explain why that has happened. It's the result of broad and deep trends that have operated over 40 years, and one charismatic individual or one political party can't change it. It's deeply rooted, but we also have a proposal for changing it. We think that the political system needs a shock, and in a chapter of the book called Shock Therapy, we propose what we think could give it the needed shock, and that is an independent candidate who would run on a platform of meeting the challenges in the way that we think are necessary.
But Michael, let me push you back right there. You said that a charismatic individual can't solve this, yet your solution is a third-party candidate. It seems to me the Soviets learned this lesson, and their shock treatment was basically falling off the cliff.
Well, there's a big controversy about whether the Soviet Union got into the post-Soviet Union got into trouble because it practiced shock therapy or because it didn't. But we say that the shock therapy we need involves not an individual but a platform, an agenda. And if such an individual runs on the agenda that we describe in That Used to Be Us, we believe that many people would vote for that person. That person probably would not be elected president, but would demonstrate the existence of a huge unmet need and would change the policies of whoever was elected president and bring the two parties closer together around the agenda that we need for American renewal.
So as an also-ran, it would change the debate enough to make serious policy changes. That's Michael Mandelbaum, co-author of That Used to Be Us, professor of American foreign policy at Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies in Washington. Also with us, Tom Friedman of The New York Times. Tom, you describe in the book the biggest growth in debt in U.S. history took place between 2000 and 2010. Was this a 9/11 thing or a much bigger sort of strategic miss by the U.S. economy?
Well, it was certainly part of 9/11, John, but basically we see it also as very much part of a generational shift. We're in a hole right now, not just because of the subprime crisis. We're in a hole because we have experienced a generational shift from the greatest generation, which believed in basically save and invest, which grew up in the Depression, World War II, and dealing with a very serious enemy in the Cold War, to a baby boomer generation, which believed basically in borrow and spend, which grew up in the afterglow of the Cold War, and believe not in the sustainable values of the greatest generation, but situational values, do whatever the situation allows. So we've had a generational shift, and that's one reason we fought two wars, and for the first time in our history had a tax cut to pay for them, in inverted commas, rather than a tax hike.
You know, I'm wondering, you talk about the fact that after the Cold War, America kind of put up its feet and lost sight of the what you call the basic pillars of growth. You say they're education, infrastructure, immigration of high IQ innovators and entrepreneurs, and incentivizing startups. How does those two connect? How did the people put up their feet and then lose sight of something as basic as funding education?
Well, basically, we did the most dangerous thing a country or species can do. We misread our environment. We thought the end of the Cold War was a victory that allowed us to actually relax and put up our feet to some extent. And we also enjoyed the benefit of a huge peace dividend, and actually something that was even more inducing to putting our feet up. We had a massive, massive tax cut in the form of cheap oil. Remember, oil prices collapsed at the end of the Cold War. And so what we didn't understand was that in winning the Cold War, we had actually unleashed a world of 2 billion more people just like us, only with huge pent-up aspirations. They wanted to be like us, work like us, live like us, and we suddenly had so many more collaborators, but also competitors. And it was a fundamental misreading of the moment.
Michael Mandelbaum, let me put this to you. The Financial Times, in a review of your book, suggested that a prescription for making America great again sort of misses the point of the 21st century, and that no nation is going to take that role anymore, and that just having America participate would be fine. Greatness is something for political hyperbole.
Radically disagree on two grounds. First, the world needs, whether or not it always recognizes the fact, a strong America. A strong America is the global pillar that guarantees global peace and prosperity. And second, a strong America carrying into the 21st century is possible. We are not pessimists. We are optimists, although frustrated optimists. We do not believe that America's best days are behind us. We believe that we can be the country we have been for more than 200 years, that we can be what we used to be if we wake up, understand our situation, and get back to the things that made us great.
All right, so huge economic mistakes, Tom Friedman, political dysfunction, which you describe very eloquently, a strategic miss in terms of energy and technology. Your solution is a third-party platform and a candidacy. That feels like a tweak for a giant dysfunctional problem that you described, Tom Friedman.
Well, I'm afraid, you know, unless we have politicians out there, leaders and journalists, community people talking about the real problem. Look, what we've tried to do in this book, John, is this. What is our problem today? Our problem is that we're not starting the discussion in the country with the right question. What world are we living in? Okay? I watched the debate last night. We started, you know, with how can I take a steel crowbar and stick it in the wheel of the other country, okay? So what this book is about, it really, you know, so much of the book is about education. It's about the technology revolution. It's about how we've gone from a connected world to a hyper-connected world, and what that means for students, teachers, in order to get up to speed in this world. We're trying to bring the discussion to where it needs to start, and we hope in doing that we'll contribute to people doing that on the national level. There's no simple solution to where we are, but at the same time, we didn't get here by accident.
Right. Well, the question is, can we engineer our way out of a situation that we definitely slid into over a long period of time? Tom Friedman and Michael Mandelbaum, thanks so much. The name of the book is That Used to Be Us. Perhaps the simple solution would be a coup d'etat for this third-party candidate. I know you're not calling for that, but thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thomas Friedman, of course, the columnist for our partner, the New York Times, Michael Mandelbaum, co-author of That Used to Be Us with Tom Friedman. He's a professor of American foreign policy at Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies in Washington, D.C. What do you believe? Has America lost its way? Are we dysfunctional? And would a third party pull us out? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. Will the president address this tonight?
No.
We will find out.
No.
I'm John Huckenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.